Good morning, everybody. What a joy to be here today with you all and to celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is a very important feast day for the whole church around the world. It's a day of processions left all over the place. And I remember when I went to Guatemala, there were processions for Corpus Christi every day for weeks after Corpus Christi, actually, because there were so many churches and every church wanted to do a procession downtown, and there was only one downtown in 20 churches. So they had, it was so cool. And like, I made this deal when I became a priest that never would I let a Corpus Christi go by without a procession. And so my first Mass was on Corpus Christi, had a procession. Remember, we've had one for the last 3 years here and been a joy. Last year, the Archbishop was here to dedicate our chapel. And of course, praise you, Jesus, that the chapel will reopen today at 7 o'clock, which is a true joy for me. And I'm so excited. I can hardly stand it. It's been a long several months without our Blessed Sacrament chapel. And so praise the Lord that that's coming back. A little side note, be important to wear a mask in there and also to make sure that we're distancing, whatever, but we go as close to the Lord as we possibly can, you know, no matter what. And so thank God for that. And of course, 2 years ago, Archbishop was here for our 150th anniversary on Corpus Christi. So I'm going to email him later and say, why didn't you show up today to St. Joe? But anyway, great day. Corpus Christi, totally. This is the foundation of our faith. The body and blood of Jesus, which is worth more. We either believe it or we don't. That the body and blood of Jesus that you and I receive at Holy Mass is worth more than all the money in the world. Worth more than life itself. Not just the most important thing in life, more important than life. And it is life. The Eucharist is our life. That you and I, according to our Lord and Savior, who in our gospel just said, when you take in the Eucharist, you have life. And if you don't, you don't. And that we have the life blood of divinity in our veins when we go to Holy Mass. And when you, like, I was just thinking of three things. What do we do before Mass? Before communion? What do we do during communion? And what do we do after communion? I just want to think about those three things. First of all, before communion. Like, Sunday Mass ought to be the thing that we look forward to all week, because it's a chance for us to forget about ourselves for an hour. It's a chance for us to put our praises on something more important than us, the one who made us. That we look forward all week long to coming here to Holy Mass. What if I told you that on Sunday you could go to a house that had $1 million in it? Nothing would keep you away, would it? Nothing would keep you. Be like, oh, sure, I can't wait. And Tuesday would be like, dude, only about 4 or 5 more days until I get to go to that house and get $1 million. But guess what? We get something even more important than $1 million, more important than a billion, more important than anything is right here at every Sunday Mass, every daily Mass. We get the body and blood of God, worth more than everything. So the first thing I would say is to prepare ourselves for communion is to be really excited about it. And to have our right priority, hierarchy of important things in our life. And at the top has got to be Jesus. And if it is something else, we're all messed up. And we're excited about it. Number two, we find ourselves in a state of grace, such that we would never present ourselves for Holy Communion if we had a mortal sin on our souls, which would be a breaking of any of the Ten Commandments or one of the seven deadly sins. That we would want to make sure that that is wiped away in confession before communion. And why is that? It's because communion is a time to be in union with the Lord, and our sins are a way of breaking that union. And so we go to confession to restore, reconcile that union. And so the third thing that I would think is just to be like, man, when I get in that communion line, I'm going to the Last Supper. I'm going with the apostles. Do you think anything kept the apostles away from the Last Supper? I don't think so. That was, what if Peter said, no, I got a fishing trip that day, or something like, no. When we are in that communion line, according to our wonderful parish council president, Gay McKinney. She says, when we're in communion line, we ought to be thinking about, we're going to that table, which we see on this altar. We go there and we participate. It's not a remembrance solely. It's a participation in it. It's not a remembering of the of Jesus on the cross with his blood coming out of the side going into our chalice. It's a participation in that. And folks, if Flannery O'Connor said, if it's just a symbol, to hell with it. It's just a symbol. Martyrs have died for the Eucharist. People have died for the Eucharist. People have lived for the Eucharist. And that has to be you and me. So number two, that's the first thing. Like, what are we doing as we prepare for communion? We'd be excited, we'd be in a state of grace, and we remember, like, what we're doing is we're going with the apostles to the Last Supper. Number two, at communion. That's the time, my friends. Did you listen to what Tyler chanted? This was the ancient sequence. And a beautiful, how many paragraphs is it, Tyler? I think it's about 22 paragraphs. And there's a short version, but I said, Tyler, I don't think you should do the short version. Why don't you do the long version? And it's fortunate for him, we have seven masses this weekend, so he gets to do it a whole bunch of times. Isn't that great? And so anyway, it was awesome. But did you listen to it? Like, it talks about our praises bursting. And when we receive at the very moment, joy nor sweetest grace be wanting from your heart, let praises burst. That when you and I receive the Holy Eucharist, there's nothing wanting, which is to say that there's nothing lacking. It's not like, oh, I received communion and I'm still unhappy about X, Y, or Z. No. According to this beautiful sequence and according to our beautiful church, like, when we receive Jesus, we got everything. And we don't got to be sad about anything or unhappy about anything, because why? We have the lifeblood of our Lord within us. Isn't that amazing? And that when we receive communion, our hearts should be bursting with love for our Lord. That it's not just, it can be robotic sometimes if we're not careful. But if we remember, we prepared ourselves well with all those things, and then at that moment, we're truly present to that moment. Oh man, what a grace that I get to receive God right now. I get to receive life itself right now that Jesus was talking about in our gospel today. Isn't that amazing? Our hearts ought to be bursting at that moment. When we're truly present to that moment, we're truly present to God, who is truly present to us, whether in our tongue or on our hand, and we're truly present to our Lord and truly in love with our Lord, who gave himself out of love for us in his body and blood. What do we do after communion? By the way, at communion, you ought to remember that, you know, when we say, if you receive on the hand, just make sure there's not any little particles of our Lord on the hand. Because sometimes, you know, we can be careful. And it's never a good thing. You know, there's a very, very eloquent prayer that the priest prays as he wipes up all the crumbs and consumes all the crumbs. Because why? We don't want our Lord going into the vacuum cleaner. We want our Lord to be with that. He deserves better than that. He deserves better than to be trampled on the floor. And so make sure that when you receive that there's no little particles. And if there are, just kind of, you know, do a little suction thing there. And it's just a good practice. But third thing, what do we do after communion? Pray God we're different people. Today we have First Communions. We have First Communions yesterday at St. Vincent. We got two First Communion Masses this afternoon. And I just love First Communions. It's the best thing. Yesterday we got a new Catholic in the church, Jason Lee. This morning we got a new Jeff Eads Catholic at the other. I mean, just people getting the body and blood of our Lord for the first time. Today's my nephew's First Communion in Ohio. So I'm very excited for him. But like, when I talk to those kids, I'm like, dude, at the other side of communion, you've got to be different. We've got to be different. When we have Jesus inside, it makes all the difference in the world, because we have life within us, and that we should be truly alive. We should be truly, like, truly alive, not just in an earthly way, but in a heavenly way. We should be so excited that we go tell. That's how the apostles spread the faith. They didn't have any evangelization 101 programs. They did it because they were so in love with Jesus and they received our Lord, and then they told about the story. They witnessed what the Lord had done for them and how different they felt after having received Jesus. And remember, when you got Jesus in you, Jesus doesn't yell. Jesus doesn't offend people. Jesus doesn't fight with siblings and all those things that, like, when we have Jesus within us, we live different lives. Because why? He lives his life through us. When we have communion, when we have Jesus inside, he lives his life in you and in me. His hands are our hands. His feet are feet. Our hearts are his heart. Our mind is his mind. And he lives his life because he and I are one, and you and him are one. We're all together. And whoever eats my bread will remain in me and I in him, says the Lord. That this is how it happens, that God and man become one. And when we are one with God, we're not one with the world. We're one with love, one with charity, one with all that is good. And so, my dear friends, let us give thanks to the Lord that he has gifted us this. You know, I thought the other day, last thought is this. It's pretty cool that we just sent up a couple astronauts out of this world and into outer space. But, you know, I got to thinking, like, our journey to heaven is a lot more exciting than going to Mars or the moon or any space station out there. And Jesus knew that we needed the right fuel to get there. We run on God, according to C.S. Lewis. A car runs on gas. We run on God. If a car doesn't have gas, it conks out. If you and I don't have the body and blood of Jesus, we conk out. And we, to return to this table every single day, nothing ought to keep us away, because that's our Lord, that's our Savior. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Let's stand for our creed.